As a boy growing up in Alabama, he dreamed of going to school at Missouri. Really?
What?
I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize Missouri.
Okay. Now he covers the Royals. He's Alec Lewis of The Athletic on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now. Alec Lewis brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Go to twinpeaksrestaurant.com/location where you can see all the specials. Always the spot to check out the fights. They are always on. And great new items on the menu, including in that the loaded fries. Twin Peaks style mountainous fries covered in either bacon and cheese or the hickory smoked pulled pork. Crispy buffalo chicken, that was my favorite. Or you can get the brisket chili as well. They got the Caesar salads. Check it out right now. It is at Twin Peaks. You can find the location nearest you, Twin Peaks Restaurant. Twin Peaks location. TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/location. At some point, I should just read what's written in front of me instead of trying to do it by memory. I won't sound like such a moron. 29-degree draft beers. Get the man size. That would be my recommendation. Happy hour going on right now at Twin Peaks. Let's welcome Alec Lewis to our T-Mobile guest line. Alec, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Siren. I'm great. Had a great weekend. They've won 8 out of their last 12. It's been an interesting one. And then there was Mondesi news. So I knew coming in, I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. Where do we sit right now? You know where my frustration's at. You can probably guess. I think you were probably in your beat writers meeting with Mike Matheny when I was rambling on about, listen, at some point, you know, there's got to be a breaking point. It sure didn't sound like we're at that point with Mike Matheny right now, did it?
No, it didn't. I think they said, Mike said this morning, Mondesi, I guess the hamstring felt better than it did last night. What that means, I have absolutely no idea in terms of when he'll be back. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's another injury, another lower body lingering thing for a speed guy who's really athletic. I think it happened on the play last night where he charged in, made a hell of a play with his arm over to first, but I actually kind of thought there was some kind of grimace in his face. He just didn't look right. And we're here again. We've been here a lot, and I can understand why you are indeed frustrated.
Well, and who really cares if the fatty talk show host is frustrated? But I just put myself in the shoes of some of the guys that got to move all around the diamond. Because this guy just can't stay healthy. And again, you know, it's a results business. Guys are looking to get paid. I pointed out that the year that Hunter Dozier had his best year, he played almost all of his time, or at least, you know, 80%+ of his time at third base. Now, is third base the magic position for him, or is it just that he knew almost every day where he was going to go out and play? I don't know. I know more and more position flexibility is part of the game that's out there. But, you know, my fear is that, you know, I think at some point the Royals have to have a generational talent hitting the ball, right? One of the things we've talked about this week, we're approaching the 15-year anniversary of Dayton Moore being hired. And who is the generational talent that they have had offensively? Really, you could say who is the generational talent they found either on the mound or offensively. He inherited Zach Greinke and traded him. But they've picked, you know, he inherited the number two overall pick in Alex Gordon. He selected Mike Moustakas, number two, Eric Hosmer, number three, Bubba Starling, number five. You now have Bobby Witt Jr., number two.
Christian Colon, four.
Christian Colon at four, yeah, thank you. Christian Colon at four. They now have Bobby Witt Jr., who's number two, and they spent a lot of money on Adalberto Mondesi like he would be a generational talent. And the best you've gotten are some a handful of deserving all-star appearances, a handful of charitable all-star appearances when the Royals were packing the ballot. Royals fans were packing the ballots for some guys. Like, I think they need to be right with Witt Jr. And he's the guy that at least to this point has come with the most acclaim. And I would hate to think that you begin your time with Bobby Witt Jr. maybe getting sideways with a guy that you would like to make the face of your franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in terms of, yeah, they need a generational talent. I guess my question to you would be, like, how many generational talents are there, and how many tenured GMs who have been there for, I mean, how many of these guys end up drafting inside? I mean, how many generational talents are there? I think to your point, I'm curious to what you think of that. But then I will say with Bobby Witt, I mean, you're right. He is the guy that has, I think, undoubtedly, beyond probably Adalberto Mondesi with the way they've talked about him, Bobby Witt is the guy who I think has come with the most acclaim. I think they've been optimistic. I think there have been reasons to – I mean, we've seen it, saw it in spring training. I think he hit 3 home runs the other night in one game. I know it's just one game, but – there's no doubt. You're right. That I mean, it needs to hit for them to, do what they want to do. You need a guy who is gonna, I don't know, perform early and be a good big leaguer early, because this is long been a thing that they've struggled to have guys transition at an early age and succeed. And I know it's hard, but it happens a lot. And I think that gets back to your generational talent comment.
I think it is hard to find those guys, but I don't know that it's as hard as the Royals have made. And maybe saying generational guy is unfair. Where's the guy that you look at and go, offensively, he's well above the average for his position? Because even when Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer were a big part of leading this team to a World Series, they were doing it with numbers that were kind of, you know, they were good, but they weren't spectacular. Right, the Royals World Series. I mean, I will forever defend Dayton Moore and the front office that they weren't lucky that, you know, in getting there. Like some of the other analytics folks that wanted to bash what they were doing, try to make up for their own mistakes, I think, or their own misreads on the ball club. I give them full credit for what they were able to do, but I do also believe what Jeff Passan said to me once, which is, you know, I think stars win World Series. Now the Royals got it done without one. But I wouldn't make that the new blueprint. And so I think it's important to get a guy that's really good, make him happy, make him want to be on your ball club. And I don't think watching him – I listen, right now Bobby Witt Jr. will do whatever you tell him to do down in the minor leagues, because he's just – the carrot's in front of him of getting to the big leagues. But then once you get to the big leagues and you hit and you have to keep moving all over the place, Bobby Witt Jr. is the guy that's been told how great he is for a while. And the whatever you want me to do, I'll do it attitude is gone the moment he hits in the big leagues. I saw it with Mike Moustakas. And the moment Mike Moustakas hit, he got the red ass and was ready to joust with people when it came to the media. And more importantly, word was he kind of started to become a pain in the ass for people within the organization. Well, that day's coming, right? That day comes for all ball players. Once they're told they're great, then it arrives. And I don't know that you can just plan on everybody that the Royals bring up is going to be this uber team player. Sometimes you got to win with some a-holes. And I don't think any a-hole wants to watch somebody else play their position when they feel like they can play it better.
I think you're right in a sense. I mean, this psychological thing, when you're told you're the best, you're propped up, you're written about, you're everything. I mean, you're going to feel like you're owed the position that you feel most comfortable and best in. And for Bobby, that has always been shortstop. And so I think in some sense you're right, but I also have gotten to spend some time with Bobby and have spent some time with his dad. And while, yes, he's young now and he'll do everything now, he is a guy and he's just unique in the way he kind of operates through the difficulty and he is a very keen guy. And I think in some ways I agree with you. I think a lot about like Jordan's bull, some of these successes, I mean, even LeBron at times, these guys do have to, you have to have guys who have this arrogance about them. And I think Bobby, it's not really his nature to be that way. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens if he comes up, if he starts hitting the way I think they believe he will. He believes he will. It will be interesting to see. And I think it is valid to bring up Adalberto Mondesi. Like, we're not – I mean, if he cannot stay on the field, you need to make sure you have a shortstop who is a plus shortstop every day and can play every day. It's an essential thing for a team that wants to win a World Series.
We're talking right now with Alec Lewis here in the program. So what do we think? He's not going to play tonight, or at least he's not in the starting lineup. Mike Matheny added in there, well, I'm not ruling anything out for tonight. That to me is just you make your pitching moves based upon the fact that I might go get Mondesi and you might have to face him. I don't think there is a snowball's chance in hell. As little a chance as Danny Klinkscale thought Phil Mickelson had of actually winning the PGA Championship. I think there's less chance than that, right? So there's clearly a chance because Mickelson did win it. But I think even more strongly than Danny thought about that, that no, Mondesi is not going to play. And I think everybody else in baseball knows it because everybody else in baseball has to know that Mondesi's the sacred cow and he can do whatever and they're not going to do anything to jeopardize him. And so I don't think there's any strategic part to it. You go in tonight, the other team knows you're not going to go get him. If I'm wrong, then we'll come on and say, okay, hey, yeah, they pulled a little number there. But if he's not back after the day off, then they're just kind of doofies, right? Because why would you think he's going to play when every part of his history says he's not? Make the move now. Get somebody up here. Give your manager a full bench to work with or another arm to relieve some of the wear and tear on the other guys who have been pretty damn good, by the way. Everybody not named Zuber did not allow a run in relief. I don't really count Hernandez as coming in as a relief appearance. He was piggybacked and knew he was coming in for more than multiple innings. But everybody else threw up zeros in that pen. I mean, why keep doing this? You're the only ones that if he doesn't play after that off day, you're the only ones that didn't know that was coming.
Well, what I was going to say is, I mean, I think you're right. I think we'll know after that off day, I think on Thursday kind of afternoon, what the true situation is. And I do think you're right. They have to be forward thinking. I guess devil's advocate is like, Soren, who you said you want to fill out the bench. I mean, like who are you? I mean, Alcides Escobar, I mean, you're going to have him on the bench. Does that make you really happy? I mean, ultimately, I just...
No. I'm not saying that the long-term solution is there, but there's at least a guy. Why are you going to play down a man?
No, I think you're right. I mean, obviously...
Like, if they sit around for three or four days and he doesn't play and then they IL him, shame on them. Okay, because we've seen this story written a million times, right? I mean, that to me is... Numerous times we see and it happens to all teams, right? Where it's just going to be day to day. And then 4 days in, he goes on the IL. It's retroactive to 4 days ago. He's eligible in 6 days. Well, this guy put him on the 10, okay? Because it's there's no history that says this is a day to day thing. When has it been day to day?
It's a combination of him and the injury itself. How many hamstring injuries
are just day to day? So much so that, like, we had to take him out.
The other thing I was going to say, I mean, this is a speed guy who uses his body. I mean, the hamstring, it's not just – I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much inflammation – I don't know the ins and outs medical kinesiology element to this. But, I mean, he's a guy who goes full speed, and that's part of what makes him a player that the Royals speak very highly of and can do things like he did last night. But, I mean, without a hamstring – you just can't do that. So I don't know. Again, I think Thursday afternoon there will have to be a decision made. I think that if it's not, I think you're right. I mean, you can ask questions. But if he's going to potentially maybe be good Saturday, I don't know what would tell them that. Then maybe you don't put him on the IL. I think you got to know Thursday afternoon definitively.
Okay.
And map the course from there.
I think that's fair. Hey, let's give him the benefit of the doubt till Thursday, and then let's see what they come up with. Here's the next one for me that starts to become, you know, I think a question for Mike Matheny to have to deal with. And that's the idea that, you know, now I lost which direction I was going to go with this. I apologize. Solaire's sitting out there as well. Yeah, so you're playing down two. Yeah, that wasn't it. But I mean, how long do you play minus two bats at a time that you carry way more pitchers than hitters as it is?
Yeah, I mean, it can't happen. I mean, it can't go much longer. There's without a doubt. It sounds as if Solaire, though, we asked him in our private session today, it sounded like Solaire is progressing to the point I think he's really close. It hasn't been long enough to where he'd need anything. So I think there's a chance that you could really, I think, maybe even light pencil him in for Thursday. So I don't think you'd beat down two. But, again, that's right groin. He's hit the way he has. He has his injury history. So it's questionable, without a doubt.
How about this part? The Royals just had a nice weekend. They took 3 out of 4. They won 8 out of 12. They've righted the ship and won 10 out of 16 since losing 11 in a row. And here we sit, and most of the people I know that are Royals fans are going, God, here we go again. The Mondesi injury outshines what is a baseball team that's playing pretty good baseball here of late.
I mean, yeah, because you can see, you see what he can do. And it's, obviously, it's like the Sammy Watkins thing. You've seen a guy at some point perform to a level that's hard to understand. And so when you continuously see a guy get hurt and you can't rely on him, it's like any relationship, anybody in life. The less you can rely on somebody, the less you're going to go to that well, the less you're going to, I don't know, the more you're going to stress over it. And so, I understand it, but I think the important thing to note, as I try every time, and I know it's a results-based business, as you say so often, and that's important to say, but Mondesi wants to stay on the field more than anyone else. He wants to see himself on the field. And over the years, it's been, well, sometimes he's told us about his injury too late. So here he told them early, but now he's maybe, some people will say, just babying a hamstring. It's just such a fine line for a guy to walk, and for a guy as explosive as him, he needs the hamstring to be full go. So to the original point, I understand why it's the conversation, because last night on ESPN, you saw what he can do. And you've seen at spurts over the course of his career, him be a player, the type of talent that you say and that people agree the Royals need to have to succeed in this era. So that's why the conversation exists. It's understandable, and it is frustrating. And, I know the Royals at times, it's frustrating not have the guy on the field, but it's health. Some guys might just be built differently.
I don't think anybody. Listen, maybe he just won't fight through injuries. Maybe he's just brittle. Either way, it doesn't matter, right? Dayton Moore said, "The big leagues are where it counts, right? The minor leagues are where you get better. The big leagues are where it counts. It's irrelevant what the reason is." If the Royals' plan is to spend 6 years figuring out, is he brittle or is he just not willing to battle through injuries, it's still a fool's errand. There's enough data that I don't even care. I really don't. I do not care what it is. I just know that listening to Mike Matheny go on and on about how talented he is as he sits on the injured list and unavailable drives me crazy. I asked Tim Grunhardt, I said, listen, coaches sticking up for guys and constantly talking about them when they're never able to play, does it piss guys off? He said, hell yeah, it does. He said, now baseball's a little different, and since at football we practice all the time, and everybody hates practice, and so it sucks to have to go out there and practice all week while somebody else doesn't, and then they're magically ready to go in games. Well, it's a little bit different in baseball in the sense that you don't really practice once the season starts. You just play games. But those games are a grind, and I know that there's a reason why pitchers say they can go another batter when they're really gassed, why guys go out there hurting, because that's the culture of the game. He defies the culture of the game for whatever reason. Either way, the game frowns on not being able to play more than 100 games. And I worry about them infecting the clubhouse. And furthermore, I worry about them not making necessary moves to finish this team off, because this team is somewhere in the 11, 12, 13 range. Or if I'm wrong, the 14 range, where they're ready to contend. And if they never have what is a major league average shortstop playing, they're not going to get there. And so if they're not making the move to get the shortstop that they need because they're perpetually trying to figure out, well, can he do it or not, then they're failing in the front office.
I think what's important to say is, his injury history isn't just obvious to everyone here. People elsewhere, I'm sure it's obvious to them too. And so how much are other teams willing to give up?
Cut him. Seriously, at some point you become a cancer that it's like, if it is crippling you from making the decisions you have to make, then take whatever bag of baseballs, and he'll bring more than that. Take whatever it is and move on. I pointed this out today. The White Sox 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whenever it was, traded the best young player in baseball in Fernando Tatis Jr. And that's the team you're chasing. This fear that Mondesi might go be something, and if he is something for the Yankees, what? Is Kansas City going to burst into flames? Is downtown going to explode? Is the oxygen going to leave this city and life as we know it in this town is over? It's like this fear that if Montezuma, so what if he goes and plays someplace else? Well, he never plays here. Maybe that's the kick in the ass he needs to be good, and it's never going to happen until he does go somewhere and somebody gives a little tough love to the guy. Like this fear of, oh, my God, Montezuma might be good somewhere else. And if he is, then we can't possibly ever win a game again. Well, then move the team.
Do you think Bobby Witt Jr. is ready?
I don't want Bobby Witt Jr. here now. No, I don't. I don't think he's ready. But I'm ready for them to start making some real decisions about some guys.
So you want Lucius Fox instead? Like, what? I don't know. I don't understand. What do you want? I mean, Alcides Escobar, you want it? I mean, you could do that, but, like, what, is this team?
No, I want them to go find a shortstop. Listen. Why is shortstop a riddle that the Royals are the only team that is considered acceptable that they can't solve it? Like, first of all, listen, I can't tell you how to make a better souffle, but if you serve me one that tastes like piss, I can tell you this one sucks. Now, I can't tell you to go how to make a better souffle, but I can tell you this one tastes like piss, okay? And you, I don't need a chef's degree. I don't need culinary school to figure that out. And if the restaurant that I'm at is going to succeed, they need to go find a new chef. They don't need a patron to tell them where that chef is and how much to pay him. That's their job. Okay, so it's not my job to figure out which guy. This shortstop has to be filled by a guy who can play on a regular basis. And if Dayton Moore can't do that, then Dayton Moore is the problem.
Seren, they drafted Bobby Witt Jr. with the number 2 pick in the 2019 draft. They have a lot of confidence in him. He's progressing towards the big leagues. If he doesn't pan out, then sure. I mean, your concerns about your souffle are quite valid. But
well, I'm going to move on because I'm chasing my tail. Because every time I make the parallel to try to answer the question you give, you move on to then take a shot at my parallel. The point is this: they have not filled shortstop since Alcides Escobar declined in his ability to play. They haven't done it. They've pushed one button, and one button only, and they've not been able to fill it. Period. End of discussion. Bobby Witt Jr. is there. Yes, that's great. And if the whole time Bobby Witt Jr. has been playing out of position and gets sideways, okay. If they don't keep – listen, I'll go back to something I said when they re-signed Alex Gordon on the downslope of his career. I said if this deal prohibits them from having the money to re-sign Alex Gordon – or excuse me, Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer, this team will genuinely regret the decision to sign Alex Gordon. Now, I don't trumpet that every day – because that's not really what I'm about. I'd like to think we get something right on a regular basis, and I don't have to find one thing from 5 years ago to constantly beat the drum on to see we were right. But I'm going to tell you, we were effing right, okay? That crippled them, and they would be a much better ball club if first and third were answered and that money had been spent to sign those guys at that time, and they were still on this roster. This team would be better, okay? And I'm going to tell you, this is the same kind of situation. Throwing away years of controllable, cheap service time. Like, the new statistical revolution is development, right? What do other teams do? They take Macy, the first baseman for the Dodgers, right? The guy doesn't hit squat. Redoes his swing, comes in, and he's the most valuable guy down the stretch of 2018 and leads them to the World Series. They make him better. Muncy, yes, thank you. Muncy, they make him better, right? Teams get young players up. They mess with their spin rate. They go adjust it all. And they get wins and strikeouts and dominating performances from pitchers in their first year, second year, third year, when they don't cost anything, right? I could get into, like, let's get Brady Singer off the 5 ERA pretty soon, right? Not necessarily today. But if you've got to wait 4 years of big league time on every guy the Royals bring, they're not going to sniff the World Series again. Listen, I do everything I can to pay homage and give credit for the World Championship that was won by this front office, the back-to-back pennants that they've won. I take nothing away from it. I never allow anyone to just call them lucky. But I said then, and I will repeat it now, they will have to be better this time if they're going to do that again. And what about the young players that are coming up? You know, it's okay to have a Pujols come up and hit immediately. And I'm hoping that's Bobby Witt Jr. The journey began in 2015 with Mondesi. And that's still plan A. 6 years later, 5.5 years later, it's still plan A. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to hit for the last 3 months of 23. I'm going to field numerous calls and emails and tweets of people going, see, I told you, fat ass, he's a star. And then he's going to walk right out that door, and he's going to go to a team with big money, and the Royals are going to be like, okay, what do we do now at third? Because we had Bobby Witt over at third, but now we obviously got to move him to short. And the question's just going to – the target's just going to move. The target's the same. Fill the spots in the dirt. Get those questions answered. They never really did it at second base. They did it for a brief moment in 15 when Ben Zobrist moved over there. But fill the spots in the dirt. Get center field catcher. Get the middle of the team figured out. I do know that that's at the core of what Dayton Moore's doing, and yet he spent 5.5 years waiting on this guy to suddenly get healthy and consistent. And the other thing, we see what he can do. That's the, oh, he had a home run and he made a great play. And then hit the DL. And his on-base percentage is still the exact same thing as his batting average is. And if you think he's going to hit 360, I'll take 50 points lower. He's not going to hit 310.
No, I don't think it's going to hit 360. We've talked about this for him before, probably 75 times. I think we've always come back to the truth that Mondesi and what happens is going to it's going to weigh very heavily in terms of what this Royals, I guess you could say, this rebuild ends up happening. I mean, it's always been obvious that way, and maybe to your point, it is because they haven't been able to find another shortstop that is capable of playing every day and playing to a level that's higher than just a replacement like Nicky Lopez. I mean, you're right in the sense that. They need it, but it's not like they're not trying. I mean, they've signed guys. They've been in the international market. They haven't.
What shortstop have they signed?
Jason Guzman, I believe they paid him one.
Well, okay. What big league shortstop?
They haven't. It's what I'm saying. You're right in the fact that the results have not showed, and it is a results based business. So you're right. You're right. And they have been as loyal as they have with Adalberto Mondesi for as long as they have been. And again. Back to my beginning of this comment, it's going to weigh very heavily into what happens. It just is, unless they end up with a surplus of guys due to the development staff that they have implemented, that they did implement in 2019, and that has shown very good things in the minor league this year. That's something that you have to – I think you've talked about how development is – it's the nature of everything right now, and the Royals have seemingly been able to up what they've done there early in this minor league season, and I think that it's something to note in this conversation. It matters, but you're right in that it is – I mean, they need to have a consistent above-average shortstop if they want to do what they need to do to keep their job, obviously.
All right, let's shift gears, and we'll talk about the pitcher that has been pitching the best for the Kansas City Royals, the one that they didn't think could do it. We'll do that next.
The program with Soren Petro.
I wanted to hear mindless droning. I'd befriend an air conditioner.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Interesting. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we make our way through a busy day. We're talking some Royals baseball. We've talked amazingly a lot about Adalberto Mondesi. It's funny how that works here. Let's talk about Chris Bubich, a guy that I made the case for. The guy that the Royals had, maybe fourth in line for being able to succeed, Jacob Junis in front of him originally, then Daniel Lynch, I guess third. And then he finally got, after failures on both of their parts, he got the chance to start, and he just, it doesn't look like what it looks like for all the other guys that are getting it done at this point in baseball. Big swing and miss numbers, strikeout to walk ratios that are 3-4 and 5-6-1, but he just keeps getting it done. I mean, you know, are we good with the fact that he's in the rotation for the long haul now?
Yeah, I mean, I think for now, for sure. I was talking to a scout the other day, just asking about him. I think what makes him, what's made him the successful pitcher that he's been this year is his ability to command on both sides, which is sometimes a rarity at the big league level. And the changeup, which is kind of, I mean, that pitch specifically, which interestingly, a lot of these Royals pitchers have one and have been drafted and had one then. The changeup just throws hitters off. It's a timing. It affects these other pitches, and his curveball's improved. He's had an interesting arc in the spring. He was sent down, option, didn't really get much of a chance to start. Obviously went down to the alternate site and kind of just has gotten back to the pitcher that made him so successful in the minors in 2019. And so I think he's also just his maturity levels is up there. And I think just all of that, the experience has seemed to shine. It'll be interesting continuously to see if he has the success against lineups that he's faced, because I think they will start to key on that changeup. But if his command is there, I mean, good command is a real weapon, even in today's day and age. Dallas Keuchel has shown that for years.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Rich Hill shows it even at years of age that he is. He has proven that that's something that you can really be effective with. The bullpen, I mentioned Zuber, the only guy, because Carlos Hernandez, I don't really count as being a bullpen guy. He was clearly part of a relay startup at the top. So if you take him out, which if you want to nitpick, fine. But Zuber, the only other guy to give up a run. The rest of the bullpen, zeros. I mean, there's a lot. Like I kind of hate, but I do think it's the biggest decision the Royals have to get right, to get back to a World Series, is they got to make the right choice on Mondesi. But, like, I do feel bad that they're playing really good baseball, and because of his latest malady, it's being overshadowed right now. They're playing pretty damn good baseball, and he certainly contributes to it in elongating the lineup, although I will say they're 4-3 in the seven games that he's played. They're 8-4 in their last 12, which means that they were, what, 4-1 before he came back? So it's not just him, because they were already playing better baseball before him, but the bullpen looks good. They overall are playing better. There's a lot to like about where this team is right now.
Yeah, I think these last 2 weeks, I think they have the highest batting average in baseball with men on base. You're right. That's positive. The bullpen in the last 18 games has a 1.91 ERA, and I think that might even include Carlos Hernandez's little spot. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, I think you saw against those first two games against the Rays. They beat the Rays, and then they took them to the brink in extras, and that happened. But I think to do that against that team showed everything. So, I mean, you're right. There's a lot to like. I mean, Andrew Benintendi had an unbelievable May. I think the May that you – I mean, when the Royals made that deal, it's like, can he be that guy? He was in May, and if he can continue to be, that's going to be a positive and raise questions about what they should do there. But, I mean, Edward Olivares started off strong and has filled in. Kelvin Gutierrez filled in. They did it without Dozier. I mean, they've had a lot go wrong, and yet they've still been able to kind of just hover around 500. And that's, I mean, I think that's a sign of a team that's on the cusp of winning more, at least, without a doubt.
So is the reality that if they're healthy, they're a contender yet?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's totally fair to say that. If everyone's healthy, I mean, there's so many ifs. I know you're the if man. I mean, Soler with the way.
If man.
I know you hate me going with these parallels, but I have to. There are just a lot of ifs. Hunter Dozier has looked good these last two games at the plate, but I mean, defensively at third, he's been brutal all year. There's just a lot. I mean, the pitching, starting pitching, how long can these young pitchers go the rest of the year? There's a lot of questions to where I think to be true contenders, you need less of those questions. But they're going to compete, as they showed against the Rays in those first two games. I mean, they took that team to the brink, and I think that's what they're going to do continuously if enough of these guys are healthy and performing, if that can be possible.
Yeah, there are days that I'm like, man, they're right here. They can see it. Like, there it is. And I do think if the young pitching can click, that's going to be part of it. But I think what's going to be interesting, and Ned Yost was never shy about making changes in his coaching staff. I can't say that they were always right, because I can't say that the Royals did the right thing. One thing that I think we should forever be questioning is if whether or not Dayton Moore should have allowed Kevin Seitzer out of this organization. Because Kevin Seitzer has gone down and stood watch on the Atlanta Braves since leaving here, and numerous hitting prospects have hit and hit and hit and hit and hit down there. And in particular, a couple of stars up at the top. And I think that's one of the things. Bobby Wood Jr. needs to come up here and be a star. Or, you know, like I said, Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, they're fine players. But, you know, at 2 and 3, MVPs come in those categories. And none of those guys that they've taken, and you threw in Christian Colon and Bubba Starling, none of them have ever scared an MVP. And if your goal, not to get back to Monacy, but I'm just going to reference his name, we're not going to talk about him. But if your goal, if your point is that, like, okay, we're building with stars, then you got to have a star every now and then, right? So somebody's got to be, it's like, hey, you win world championships with stars. You know, I remember them when they first got to town, it was, hey, we take high school players because the upside is higher, and that's what we need. We need upside. We need stars. Okay, we'll deliver one, right? Because I love me Eric Hosmer more than the next guy. I really even like Mike Moustakas, his red-ass self and all. I still like Mike Moustakas. I think you kind of need one of those AHs in the clubhouse every now and then. And so I like me Mike Moustakas. But they didn't keep him. They didn't think that they were worth it. They didn't think they were worth it to really work hard to price him beforehand. So, okay, if I'm to hold you to you're in the star-finding business, well, get guys that are at least better than those two.
Well, I think we always talk about the draft. What are they doing in the draft, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if you look at the Rays right now, the reason their farm system is as stocked as it is and the Padres was the same way is because they crushed the international market. They found so many guys in that market and made it work. And I know the Royals have been in on a lot of guys, and I know they signed, I mean, last 2 years ago, Eric Pena, $3.8 million, but they need to be hitting. I mean, Sully Matias was an international guy. He's hurt currently. Jason Guzman is at high. I mean, there are a lot of these international guys that have not panned out, and probably not enough of them that have succeeded. I think that we always talk about the draft. It's easy. It's close to us. It's what we know. It's what we see. But this international market is where so many of these teams find these talents that, as you mentioned, and as the Royals have talked about, they have to have to win a title again. I think it's important to note.
We're coming up on the 15-year anniversary of Dayton Moore being the general manager of the Royals. I know you haven't covered this team for 15 years, so I'll ask you to look ahead. Is he in it for the long haul? Is he the guy that's going to be here and watch it? I hear some people speculate that they don't. I don't know how long he's going to do it, which there are plenty of great in-house candidates that I'm shocked are still here because – you know, I do think that they've you know, do not get the credit they deserve for the successes that they've had, no matter how loud I yell about the perceived failures or at least question marks. I do think that they're a really good front office and do a lot of things right, many more right than they do wrong, and particularly when you take into context the small market nature and the organization they inherited, plus where they were. You know, they sold out to win that championship, and I think you needed to do that to revitalize baseball in this community. So I'm much more pro the front office than certainly it sounds on a day like today. But that being said, is Dayton Moore the guy? Do you get the vibe that he's in it for the long haul, or is he just getting him back to a certain level and then going to step aside?
You know, I can't answer this question. I think sometimes, and a lot of it is because, I mean, fans, you only see someone. You see the guy who's talking in front of the media and has to be the leader. But I think what's so often lost with Dayton is his competitiveness. I mean, he is, in terms of people to talk to, be around, in terms of how much he cares, he is about, I mean, he cares about winning more than, I mean, to a level. I've done so many of these stories looking back at teams he's coached, George Mason, those, I mean, he would rant, he would yell at these guys, he would put them through workout. I mean, this is a competitive guy, and so I bring that up to say, yeah, I think he is the guy for the future. I think sometimes, I mean, you mentioned the front office and the makeup of it and the success they've had. I think it's important, like guys like J.J. Piccolo, Scott Sharp, and these guys, they've been here for it all. I think it's just I always think it's about adaptability. It's about, I mean, they did restructure their player development departments in 2019. They have implemented new technologies and hired more research development people and performance science stuff. And so I think I think it's just important for them to be here, for them to succeed. I mean, you got to hit on signing players. I think that's the nature of the beast, but you also have to be adaptable. And I think they've proven that. I think the results are minimal to this point, but I think it'll be important to watch. I mean, the guys like Nick Prado, MJ Melendez, what those guys end up becoming, I think it's going to be important for this front office, for Dayton. But I do think, I think the competitiveness drives them. It would be hard for me to think he just walks away from that.
Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If an orthopedic or sports injury puts you on the bench, the same experts that care for these Royals, they can take care of you quickly, see you quickly. Request an appointment right now at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will begin you with this. What do the Royals draft? Give me position and whether it's high school or college.
I think high school shortstop. I think that I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the name Brady House is a big name right now. I don't know. I think if one of the college pitching falls, it's possible. But I'd say high school shortstop. Seems at the top end of the draft. That's the pulse of the draft.
I will be giddy as a little schoolgirl if Kumar Rocker falls to the Royals. That is the Vanderbilt pitcher that threw the no-hitter in the College World Series. A little bit of velocity was off for a couple of starts. If he slides, oh, baby, I will be excited. all right, when do the Royals sign Benintendi to an extension?
Ooh, good one. It seems like the offseason they like kind of broaching those conversations. They did it with Salvi this past year. They did it with Dozier and some other guys that they might not have been able to get things quite done.
Month and year.
Oh, okay. Month and year. You're saying the month, I think maybe this December, and then the year of this December.
12/21.
I didn't know if you meant length of deal. I was like, I'm not Nostradamus, but I could try.
Yeah, no, 12/21 in December of this year. Okay. Who leads the Royals in saves right now? Stamont 5, Holland 3, Zimmer 2, Barlow, Davis, and Hahn 1.
I'll go Greg Holland. I mean, I just don't know. Stama, I know it was the knee thing, but his velocity have been down. I know that's another one that we could talk about in terms of taking time. And I don't know. I don't have that much trust. Holland's been there, done that. Scott Barlow's been incredible. I just think they'll use him as the Swiss Army knife at any point in the game. I think that's just his role. So I'll say Holland.
I'd like to see Barlow get a shot back there. All right, and how many games does Adalberto Mondesi play this year when it's all said and done? Crystal ball, get it out.
He's played 7 now, right?
Yeah, that's right.
They're about
106 to go.
All right.
No, wait a minute. They're at 52, so 110 to go.
Okay. How about 80?
Okay. You know what that's called?
I don't know.
A shot in the dark, a dart throw, a grenade toss. There was no conviction to that whatsoever.
Absolutely zero. literally none. I blindfolded dart across the street to the neighbors. Yeah, I gave it everything I had.
Yeah.
Like you in the first segment.
Yeah. I always give it my all. 110%. 8 days a week, 366 a year. Alec, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Of course. Thanks, Ren. You guys stay well. Have a good one.
Likewise, you too. Alec Lewis, check out his great work at The Athletic. Does a great job covering the Kansas City Royals. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. Get over there right now. They're chicken sandwiches. Nobody does the chicken sandwich like the folks at Twin Peaks. I've said it a million times. They're made from scratch menu. The most underrated part of the equation. Go check out my favorite chicken sandwich. If you like it spicy, the Nashville Hot. Crispy chicken slathered in their wing sauce topped with creamy coleslaw, ranch, and pickles. It is wonderful, out of this world. Get it right now. Whether you get it in the store or have it delivered, go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com right now.
The program with Seren Petro.
He prefers the company of men.
Who doesn't?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense into the hour answer. How many pitchers in the last 50 years have thrown a no-hitter and led the league in saves?
Dave Righetti.
That's one.
Did Eckersley?
Dennis Eckersley.
I'm going to say two. I can't think of any others.
Actually, three. Damn. Derek Lowe did it.
2000. Oh, that's right. I knew that.
And 02, the no-no. He's the only one of the three to get the saves title first.
Right.
He's 48 today. He had 22 starts his first 4 years in the big leagues, then became a starter. 30 starts or more 10 years in a row.
Yeah. He was amazing.
That's not a normal progression for a pitcher.
It's not the normal path. Good Sense, get it. Had it yesterday for lunch, as a matter of fact. Get it at GoodSenseSubs.com, the app, the easiest way. 10% back in that loyalty club. Please get signed up for that because you get 10% back. Spend $20 today, get $2 off tomorrow. You can't beat it. It's Good Sense, founded right here in Lenexa. We'll give you the things you need to know. And Randy Gisarelli talking some Royals baseball coming up next hour.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, born on this date, Alan Ameche, the man who scored the NFL's first overtime touchdown. Who scored the Chiefs' first OT TD? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.